So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Weekly. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We're a little bit late coming on the air tonight. It's okay. February 27th, guys, I'm Doc Young, your host, and with me is a special co-host for tonight with Les Thatcher not in the house. He's on his way to Mobile, Alabama, put on a training clinic for Percy Pringle, a.k.a. Paul Bearer, and those guys. But joining me tonight, right next to my side, from Wrestling Observer Live and Figure Four Wrestling Newsletter, Brian Alvarez is going to co-host with us tonight. Brian, thanks for being on the show tonight.
And thanks for having me on.
And covering this was kind of like this wasn't planned that Les was going to end up leaving this early. So I appreciate you coming on the show and filling in for Les.
No problem.
We've had quite a week as far as wrestling goes on.
Yeah, it's actually been a good several weeks. I was just looking at the ratings for Raw. It did like a 4.3, which is the biggest rating of the year.
Sweet.
SmackDown did a 3.2, which I think is the biggest rating they've ever done on CW. And the demographics are all up, and it's hot.
Are we looking at a big cycle coming up, or the cycle's coming back up? Wrestling may be on the rise again.
Well, the thing to look at whenever you're looking at the rise of a wrestling cycle. I don't know if we're in for a huge boom like we had in the mid-90s or anything like that, but we're in a minor boom right now, and house show attendance is up. And usually the first thing that goes up at the start of a boom period is the house show business. And that is, it's up enough that they're doing a European tour. It's 11 days long, and they're doing 22 shows in 11 days, two a day. And
wow.
They've got a couple of dates coming up later on. I think it's a couple months from now. But basically, they're doing two shows in one day in the same building. They're doing an afternoon and an evening show. And, you know, they couldn't do that if things weren't hot. And you look at the ratings, you look at really everything. I think this year's WrestleMania is going to be huge. And I think that what they've got right now, they've got a good mix of top stars and some intriguing storylines. And things are looking good.
That's good. And you know what else? We're coming off the heels of kind of a hot Raw last night.
We've had a hot Raw for about 6 weeks now.
This has been pretty good. And I was talking to Les about this in the past episodes, that now things are starting to make sense. The storylines are getting logical. There's no huge plot holes. There's no let's forget the past. This is what's going on now. Things like that. I like it.
I don't know if there's been a major philosophical change, but Vince has just slowed everything down, and he's gone back really about 100 years to just the most basic promotional tactics that there are, which is you get some guys that don't like each other, you know, put them together in matches, and you build up to it for 6 weeks or so. You got a good guy, you got a bad guy, you got some monsters, you got some baby faces, you got some diabolical heels, and it's all so simple. And that's part of the magic of it. It's one of the things, I mean, we talk about the negatives of TNA probably too much, but the reality is one of the negatives is just too complicated. It's too rushed. There's too many things going on. There's 18 million storylines. And in WWE, I think that the big strength is we've got some top storylines with a few choice individuals, and the undercard really doesn't matter that much. It's there to have, you know, what they're doing on the undercard is they're building up one match at WrestleMania that's going to have eight guys. So over the course of the next couple of weeks and the last couple of weeks, they've just been having matches, and the winner gets into this match. That's all it is.
Yeah.
And it's very simple, and it's very effective.
And it works. What's his name? Donald Trump last night made his pick, which was the worst-kept secret in wrestling, even though, you know, we announced this last week on the show. It's Lashley. It's going to be Lashley versus Umaga. Donald Trump's going to be in Lashley's corner, and Vince McMahon's going to be in Umaga's corner, and the loser gets their head shaved. Not the wrestlers, but Trump or Vince. Who's going to get their head shaved, in your opinion, Brian?
Vince obviously, I think, would get his head shaved. But one of the mistakes...
I just had to hear you say that.
One of the mistakes I actually think that they've made is, a few years back they had a hair match with Angle and Edge. And Angle was the heel, and Edge was the babyface. And the deal Angle did was he said, let me show you some pictures of what Edge is going to look like bald. And these pictures were horrifying. And Edge has had, he said many times himself that, I'm not a handsome man. I need my hair. So you see these pictures of Edge, and you're like, my God, I hope this guy doesn't lose his hair, and the girls are sad and everything like that. Well, they did the same thing with Vince, but he shows these pictures of Trump, and you look at him, and you're like, God, Trump looks so much better without hair. And well, I don't think that's what you want the people to think when you're building up this hair match.
No, but, you know, it's kind of true. If that's going to be your hair, you're probably better off bald.
Sure.
That's just my opinion.
But I have noticed that they've been very, very professional and exact with Vince McMahon's hair the last couple of weeks to make it look like more of a trophy to be shaved off.
That's going to be weird, though, to actually see Vince McMahon run around bald. But
It'll be great.
If anybody's going to do it, it's definitely going to be Vince.
Yeah.
I think Les said it last week on the show. Vince can get away with something like that. Donald Trump, he has to go out in the real world, you know.
Well, like I said, he'd probably look better without the hair, but
probably.
I got to say this about Vince, that Vince has made a lot of people do a lot of embarrassing things. He's made people kiss his ass. He's done everything, and the one thing about Vince is when it's his turn to be humiliated, he's going to be humiliated. And I don't see this as a deal where they just give Vince like a little buzz cut. They're going to scalp the guy.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll have hair sticking out all over, and he'll run around and probably take some bumps and just look completely wacky. And he's very willing to make a fool out of himself when it's his turn to have a fool made of him.
Absolutely. You know, the wrestlers can complain and stuff about, like Jim Ross. You know, every time I go to my hometown, I get beat up, you know, and all this. And everybody's getting humiliated all the time. But when it comes time for Vince, he goes all the way with it, and he is such a good sport about it. What keeps coming to my mind is the DX thing. And when they played on the Titantron, McMahon singing Stand Back in the 80s.
Yep.
Now, everybody knows Vince found that himself, probably, and so it's like,
sure.
Play this.
Yeah.
This is the most embarrassing thing I've ever done. Put it on there. He's the good sport about that, and I like that.
Yeah, he's very willing to look like an idiot, and you know, he's shown his willingness to be beaten up in a match and that sort of thing, so I think he's one of those guys that, I mean, you can say a lot of things about Vince McMahon, but you can never say that he will do something that you won't be able to do back to him at the end.
Absolutely.
Unless it's competition, in which case that's completely unfair.
Right, and he wouldn't have you do anything he wouldn't do himself.
No, absolutely not. Try and compete with Vince McMahon, that's just wrong.
They did get some bad news, though. Saturday night's main event that's supposed to be scheduled for March 10th was canceled by NBC now.
Actually, this is good news. The internet story was wrong. The situation was NBC came to them with this March show, and they didn't want to do it because they want to put all their resources behind promoting WrestleMania, and this would require building up a big show for NBC, which if you look at the last two shows, it didn't do ratings any better than your usual Raw. So they would have to take resources away from their build towards WrestleMania to do this NBC show, mm-hmm. And they didn't want to do this, and they actually talked NBC out of moving it, so it was a WWE decision to go in June.
Ah, well, that's good then.
They've actually had a lot of good news lately. Tess has been released. Good news.
Good news.
Yeah, sure.
I kind of liked Tess. I thought he never got a fair shake.
Oh, well, you were the one.
I'm the only one, am I? Me and Stacey Keibler, probably.
Now she's probably happy, too. Kelly is sad.
Probably, yeah. Jerry Lawler, 2007 Hall of Fame.
Yep, I think...
Big surprise to me.
Really?
Yes.
I think they're putting Lawler and Ross both in.
I'm sure they will. I can't see Lawler getting it before Ross. But we were discussing this last week on the Hot Topic, and I believed... And so did Les and everybody else. Irish Pete believed that they should wait until they're retired to put him in the Hall of Fame. It would make more sense. It's kind of. You know?
I'm not a big fan of waiting till guys retire to go into the Wrestling Hall of Fame, because the truth is so few guys really retire, and especially with announcers. I mean, you know, I'm sure if Jim Ross, you know, if it were his decision, he'd do it till the day he died. And it would be nice to put him in before he passed away. And I think that the WWE Hall of Fame is a combination of how big a personality were you in WWE, and how much money can we make off you in DVDs, and that's how they determine who's going to go in. And Lawler, you know, he's been that the wacky announcer through the boom period, and Ross was the main announcer through the boom period, so I can see him putting them both in.
Absolutely. Let's go back to Test for a minute. what was I going to say? Oh, what is the whole big story behind Test? I know, okay, let's say Test, he got suspended because wellness policy violation, and now they just drop him before suspension's up. Was this, I don't know if you know, but was the...
This was not his third strike.
No.
It was, he actually failed a few tests.
Okay.
And one was a few months ago, actually I think last month, and they were going to release him then, but I guess Vince changed his mind, and he wanted to do something where he would put Lashley over as a big star, because Lashley is Vince's big project.
Right.
And so they had the match, they had this big three-way, it was Test, RVD, and Lashley. I don't know if you remember this match, but I'll never forget it. It was so horrible. It was live, they missed every spot you could possibly imagine, and it was an utter disaster, and Vince was irate.
Yes,
just
I
irate.
Remember this.
Yeah. So, and then after that, he failed a test, and at that point, it was just sort of this idea that, well, we did what we could with him and Lashley, he's failed these tests, there isn't really much of an upside to him other than that, so let's just can him. And I guess now he went on his MySpace and is claiming that he quit, which is a lie.
Well, that's crazy, though. You know, you live by the test, you die by the test, I guess.
Yeah, he actually got a car wreck, and they gave him a sobriety test this past week, but he passed that one.
Yeah, I heard about that. I guess it wasn't very major or anything like that.
No, he just bumped into a car or something.
Yeah, but he wasn't under the influence of anything at the time.
No.
And I don't know if they went ahead and steroid tested him again after that. But
on the scene?
Yeah.
Walk a line and then draw your blood?
A couple wrestling police show up, and they're like, all right, Test, bend over. We got to check something before you get out of here.
What did you see in Test? And I'm asking this question honestly because I know that Kurt Angle was a Test fan, and...
I think Test had some charisma that they didn't. They kind of really didn't let Test be himself, and I think if they did, he would have been more endeared by the people than he was. He was just sort of like this generic, you know, body.
That's
in
about
my opinion,
it, yeah.
In his tenure, now they didn't really let him show what he could do. I'm not sure, you know, from what I've seen that they. Didn't either he really sucks at wrestling, or they didn't let him do a whole lot, you know. I didn't know which one it was, and I never really got to see the chance because I never got to see him in a big match where it was important to find out about something like that. But, yeah, I just think that he was kind of a generic kind of character, and I think if they would have probably let him be himself, I think there's some charisma in there.
Well, I guess we won't know.
I guess we're not going to find out.
I don't know. I never... I've been perplexed by Test for many years.
He's an enigma.
I mean, okay, here's... I mean, the thing was, he had a great body, obviously, mm-hmm. and that was the first thing that they noticed. And every now and then, he'd have, like, this miraculously great match. And I'd be like, God, that was great. And then I wouldn't see another one like that for months and months and months. And I don't know, I just thought, you know, is his body that important?
A little inconsistent.
Slightly, yes. No, he's very consistently bad, but every now and then he had a good one.
Yeah, true. Well, tell me the story about Shelton Benjamin and this botched spot hit that he had last night with Jeff Hardy.
The story?
Yes. I missed this match.
Oh, well, the story was they were doing this match, and I don't really think there's a major story to it, but he was wrestling Jeff Hardy on Raw, and he went for a springboard of some sort, and just his foot slipped, and he fell and landed. When I saw it, it looked like he landed on his face and scorpioned over.
Ow.
And I thought, broken neck. But he twisted. I mean, he's a great athlete, so when you do a slip like that, you've got like an instant to think, and his first thought was tuck my head and turn.
All right.
And he ended up landing pretty much on his shoulder, and it looked way worse than it actually was. And to me, the most amazing thing was he slipped, and he fell on his face, and like, without missing a beat, Jeff Hardy just pounced on him for a cover, and he kicked out. And it was, you know, it was a good save, and they went to the finish shortly thereafter. But, you know, he left on his own, and he appears to be fine. So I haven't heard anything other than that, so I presume he's okay.
That's good. Moments like that can be scary. Very
scary. Oh, yeah.
Scary,
I mean, he was scared, but I think he's all right.
Here's some news, some TNA stuff that happened this week about Vince Russo. Supposedly he's frustrated with TNA TV, which is a laugh. It cracks me up. But he said something to the effect of, well, I couldn't tell you one thing I just saw, you know, after watching this episode. And I think we said that to Jeff Jarrett about 5 months ago.
And what did Jeff Jarrett say?
He said it's by design.
It's a hell of a design.
Because they've only got a certain amount of time and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I did not want to bring up the fact that Raw was a one-hour show for years and years, you know, and they did
More than that, I mean, some of the best shows in the history of this business have been one-hour shows.
Absolutely.
And it's never been, I mean, that's what always frustrates me about this we've got to get 2 hours, we've got to get 2 hours. I just look at it and I'm like, you can't pace an hour. I don't need to see 4 hours worth of stuff in 2 hours. And to me, with Vince Russo, he has no credibility with me whatsoever. When TNA first started, all I heard was Vince Russo was not involved, he's not involved. I saw the dubs, I saw outhouses. I was like, this reeks of Vince Russo.
Right.
And of course, later on, you know, it turns out he was involved. It was a lie. And then, you know, before he came back to TNA, we kept hearing these stories that, you know, Russo wants to come back, and Russo denied them. And meanwhile, people in TNA were saying, he's been calling the office. He's trying to get back in. It's lying again. So I've heard stories of Russo showing up, and he's got his scripts, and he showed up once with a two-hour script, and it was only a one-hour show, and he writes this stuff. So to me, I mean, it's like me saying, boy, that newsletter I just wrote, I didn't understand a word I wrote. I wrote the thing. So I understand. Here's the thing with Vince Russo. There have always been certain handcuffs on Vince Russo, but there are handcuffs on everybody. I mean, yes, in WCW he did have standards and practices which required certain things from him, but he blamed them for everything. I mean, he would explain that I wanted to do a skit where we called Ronda Singh fat, and they said no, standards and practices. And the question is, what would that have done if they would have said yes?
Exactly.
How would that have improved the show in any way to call Ronda Singh fat? Now, I'm sure that there is a requirement to try and get X number of guys on a show every single week.
Yes.
There are ways to do it. I'm sure that if Jim Cornette or if Vince McMahon or some of the great bookers in the history of this business were told, you need to get more human bodies on TV, they'd find a way to do it and still pace the show.
They could start the NWO TNA, have 20 guys in the ring in one faction, and they'd all get on TV that week.
Have a backstage meeting. Oh, there's everybody's face.
Right.
There's a million different ideas that you can do. And I thought that was on the top of my head. If I sat in for 5 minutes, I'm sure I could think of 15 things you could do to get more guys on TV. The point is, the show is horribly paced, there's too much stuff going on, and for Vince Russo, who is the guy that brings the scripts in to have everybody go over, to, for him to claim, I don't know what's going on, I mean, how can that be?
Yeah.
How can you not understand what you wrote?
It's crazy.
Now, if I were Vince Russo and I watched that show, I couldn't understand what I wrote either, but I wouldn't have written that.
I think TNA needs Brian Alvarez in the
no, I didn't
with the pen.
No, absolutely not.
You never know. You never know. How,
but
how
you know what?
You?
What's I'm not. It doesn't have to even be. I mean, it could be anybody. I hate to say it, but I hear from people all the time that have more of a clue than Vince Russo, that have never gotten a chance in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the people that are in TNA right now. That if given the opportunity would likely do a far superior job than Vince Russo.
Mm. I had said it, I think it was a few weeks back, TNA is starting to become a chore that I have to do every Thursday night so I know what's going on.
No, I've been like that for months now.
It's changed, and not starting when Vince Russo first took the helm with the pen. It was maybe a month later, a month or two later, it just started to get worse and worse, and like you said, I mean, it's always been too fast-paced, but again, that is by design. That's a Spike TV wish, that one thing happens after another. It's high adrenaline. It's, you know, your heart's racing for 60 minutes, and, you know, that's all by design, I think, but it's just become such a cluster anymore that, it, you know, it is hard to keep up.
I get frustrated with all of these excuses. The story of Vince Russo's career is it's always someone else's fault. It's never Vince Russo's fault.
Right.
And how can that be? How can Vince Russo have never made... Everybody makes mistakes. But, I mean, I've listened to interviews for years from Vince Russo, and it's there's never... the admission that maybe this was a bad idea. I mean, to this day, I mean, the David Arquette thing to him is still a positive. When in every measurable aspect of business, it was an utter, complete failure. And even that cannot be acknowledged. So today, in 2007, when I hear excuses about whose fault this is, I've been hearing this for 10 years now. It's never changed.
We got a lot of people in the chat room right now using the tilde bang.
Good.
You're the inventor of the tilde bang.
Actually, I'm not. That would be a lie.
Or you coined it.
Well, I like to think I popularized it, but...
You quite did. Don't you have tilde bang shirts?
Yeah, we do, actually. I don't even know what we have in our store, really, yeah. But we have a lot of stuff.
Explain to some of the new listeners who aren't familiar with Figure Four Weekly or anything what the tilde bang is and why it's there.
I picked this up about... 12 years ago, probably, from Dean Rasmussen. I don't even know how you pronounce his last name. I've just read his last name. But he wrote on DeathValleyDriver.com, and he used to always use the tilde bang. And apparently, like, one day he was really excited about some match, and he was hitting the exclamation point. And I'm sure that this show is international. In the U.S., on the keyboards, there's a tilde right to the left of the exclamation point. So his finger hit it, and he ended up having a tilde at an exclamation point. And that became sort of one of his trademarks. And I guess it's just like, you know, you could have 10 exclamation points, or you could have a tilde and then one.
Yeah.
And so I blatantly stole it, as we all do in wrestling, steal spots.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, that's my goal to popularize. I want a new, we haven't had a new punctuation mark in thousands of years, I would think. So we need a new one, the tilde bang. I want it all over the place, mainstream.
It's awesome.
It's very useful.
Shirts, hats, pictures of.
I do have a tilde bang hat, actually, a baseball hat.
You're like this marketing genius, Brian.
Well, we don't necessarily sell too many of them, but I have them.
That's funny. You're going to have to send me one of these. We'll have to wear it on the show.
Sure, yeah. How well, about a Vinny V. Thong? We have those as well.
I'm thinking no on that one. I think I'll have to pass, but yeah.
No.
The Tilda Bang, the shirt would rock. And a picture of Super Chico with a Tilda Bang above the head. That would
rule. That's right, yeah, big thumbs up.
That would rule. But, yeah, you've got you yourself, Brian Alvarez, you have a big match coming up.
I do.
You well, have another match. We had last year it was the Brian versus Vinny saga, which came off the heels of the Brian and Vinny show that you do over at F4WOnline.com. And now you have another challenge.
I have been challenged by Larry Sweeney.
Sweet and sour Larry Sweeney.
Sweet and sour Larry Sweeney. And he's challenged me to a match. I believe March 17th is the date in Portage, Indiana. It is not 100% confirmed, but I will likely be there. He is putting his ICW Texarkana Television Championship on the line. And I have vowed... That's right. I have vowed to bring it back home to the Empire.
Ah.
Yes.
You're gonna wear it when you're broadcasting on...
on this show. On this show, in fact.
You should do that.
I'm going to rename it the Frank A. Gotch Memorial Collar and Elbow Championship. That will be the new name.
Excellent. So Portage, man. Maybe I'll come up and watch the show.
It is. Are you close to Portage?
I am. Well, I'm a few hours away.
Oh, you can drive a few hours.
Yeah.
I'll have to fly, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm about 4 hours by car. I used to live in that area, in that county, too.
If I go out there, I think you should go.
I think we should. I think we should film it and put it on our respective websites. I could be in your corner.
Well, I think if you go to YouTube and you type in Larry Sweeney and look at, like, the most recent uploads, he actually did a YouTube shoot. He buried me on YouTube.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so he's going to have to... I guess I have to make a video now.
Is this going to be sort of like the Brian and Vinny where the people... are going to pay you this way?
Well,
they're going to send you your fee for this match again?
No, I'm afraid not.
Why not? You should do this.
Well, I've been booked through a promoter. That's the plan. So, so my idea is I need to just get a lot of money from the promoter.
Yeah.
And bypass.
Well, the promoter should do this. Promoter, you know, set up a PayPal account. Have everybody have the pay for Brian's plane ticket fund, and you know, and go for it. Are you going to be Brian Alvarez or your moniker from your wrestling days?
I just plan on being me.
Nobody,
he challenged me.
True.
That's right.
This came about on your show, right?
Well, on the show, he mentioned he had the date and he had no opponent. He asked me to come out, and I was like, no. So then a statement appeared on their website later on where it had been turned into an angry rant by Larry Sweeney. and we sort of figured it out from there.
Stevie J says that you should rename it the Pacific Coast Anglo-Saxon Championship.
That's the other possibility, the Anglo-Saxon catch-as-catch-can title.
That's awesome. it's hard for me to even get ring announcing jobs right now. And we've got Brian coming all the way from Washington State to Indiana to come wrestle Larry Sweeney for the ICCW Texarkana TV title.
It is absurd.
Oh, boy. Let's get back to some wrestling news. on the national front, I guess.
This is international. Come on.
This could be international.
I expect fly-ins from England.
Are we going to be able to see the match on the internet after it's over?
I have no idea what they're going to do with it, to be honest with you.
I guess it'd be owned by the promoter, and you know.
I'm sure something will come of it. Samoa Joe's going to be on the show, so I think it's a fairly big show.
Oh, excellent! Excellent.
He will not, in fact, be the main event.
Wow, you're going to be the main event. You and Larry.
No, I don't think so.
Oh no. So, Rey Mysterio, kind of back and then kind of back out again.
It was actually weird because he came out and they had Umaga beat him up, and then they brought it up again Monday. So, like, the only thing that I can think, he can't wrestle yet, but he may be able to do a run-in by WrestleMania. So my only thought when I look at how everything they've been doing has made total sense, now I obviously am thinking, well, Rey's got to cost Vince the match. And that's like... payback for Umaga beating him up in his hometown. So I don't know if that's where they're going to go, but he can't wrestle for probably another 3-4 months or so.
What exactly is his injury at this point?
Well, he's had bad knees for literally over a decade. And I can remember, like, in 97, his doctor said, your knees are so bad that if you, I mean, you may jump off a curb and end your career. A curb. And he's still jumping off the top rope.
Well, he is kind of small. I mean, curbs.
But the thing was, he was smaller then.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Are you talking about, like, the curb is up to his waist?
Yeah. I mean, if he's jumping off a curb, I mean, that's kind of
dangerous. That was an Observer Live moment right there.
I am so joking, Ray. Don't come after me.
No, but the point is, he's got a bad hoof, you know?
Right.
So you know, every time he gets in the ring, he's risking the end of his career. But he loves wrestling so much that he'll always be back. And his doctor told him, you should never wrestle again, but I think doctors tell everybody that after a major surgery. So he'll be back, and I hope he'll be safe, but that's that.
Excellent. Yeah, I'd like to see him back. I kind of miss seeing him in the ring, you know?
Well, Mystico's debut, or well, actually, he's doing a tryout tonight. I don't know if, for some reason, I just strongly suspect he will not get a job. He is the biggest star in Mexico right now. And he won the Observer Wrestler of the Year award, and WWE got wind of that, and they were like, who? And so they have determined he must come in for a tryout, and they'll, I guess, offer him a job, but it's just
then
very
they'll send
strange.
Him to OVW. And
I think they'd be, I don't know what they want to do. The whole story makes no sense to me whatsoever. They just want to see who this guy is, and I'm sure he'll do some stuff, and everybody will go, he's no good, and we'll never hear about it again.
Probably not. Who knows? We'll have to see. You know, you never know when you're coming in for a tryout what's going to happen. Some of the greatest guys have been turned down a couple times before they actually got in. TNA with some releases this week. It's their version, a mini version, I guess, of WWE's big spring cleaning. Got rid of Elix Skipper, David Young, and A1 this week.
Yeah. I've been wondering for a few years. I know this sounds horrible, but I just watch David Young every week, and I would think, why? Why are you on my TV every single week? They did the losing streak. I never understood why companies do the losing streak gimmick. It never gets anybody over. And he was just another casualty of it. He looked great, like, the first couple weeks he was there, and then he was just David Young. And Elix Skipper, I mean, he's had some spectacular moments, but as a wrestler, he messed up so many things in so many matches that I wondered, why? Why are you still here?
He was the man who did the walk on the six sides of steel.
He did, yeah.
He was the suntan Superman, if you will.
He was great at doing the high flying and such, but when you actually had him do like a wrestling match, horribly green. And with so many guys on the roster, it's just like, how do you justify keeping these guys on the payroll? And A1 never really done anything, so
right.
It's just a situation where they're not making any money still 5 years later.
Right.
And something's got to be done. They made a lot of, I mean, not just talent cuts, but they made a lot of financial cuts, shuttles to the building and that sort of thing, and guys are sleeping six to a room, so life is not all rosy in TNA these days.
No. Speaking of Rosie, we never did say that. Rosie is going to be our guest tonight, if you didn't know, guys. We try to get stuff out there, but a lot of people come in and they're like, who's going to be on the show tonight? And at least they remember Wrestling Weekly's on, but yeah, Rosie, former Rosie from WWE, is going to be on the show tonight. Just thought I'd get that out there. But Andy in the chat room, he says, why fire Diamonds in the Rough and hire the Bashams? He said, Diamonds in the Rough were much better.
Who is this?
His name is Andy.
I will assume Andy is not somebody from our website trying to rile me up, but I watched the Bashams in Ohio Valley for about 4 years. And they are so much far and away better than Diamonds in the Rough that it's a comparison that could incite my wrath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem with the Bashams is they were called up, And they were given the usual WWE generic twins gimmick. They were told never to talk.
Right.
And Doug Basham in particular is such a great heel. He's such a great worker, and he's such a great talker. And, you know, anybody who saw the Bashams and you only saw them in WWE, I guess I can understand you saying that the diamond's in the rough. Actually, I still can't, but I could understand you seeing the Bashams in WWE and not getting them because there was nothing to get. It's sort of similar to CM Punk, where a lot of people loved CM Punk's stuff on the indie scene,
right.
And he's not allowed to be that CM Punk in WWE, and so a lot of people don't understand what they're supposed to be seeing in him.
Right.
And it's the same thing with the Bashams.
Mm-hmm.
The Bashams in WWE, utterly useless. I'll say it myself. But when allowed to be Doug Basham and Danny Basham, they were great. They were awesome. And hopefully they'll be allowed to be those people in TNA. And if they are, they're just monumentally more valuable than Skipper and David Young.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll let them show what they've got, hopefully. And Andy, you're only saying that type of thing in the chat room because you know Les isn't here. And if Les was here this week, you would be getting a 45-minute rant right now for saying something like that in the chat room. You're lucky. That's why Les doesn't go in the chat room, by the way.
It's the Wild West. The board, the message board, our board in particular.
Our message board is dead. You guys have to get on our message board. Go to WrestlingWeekly.com.
You better be careful what you ask for.
I'd like to see something. I mean, good or bad. You know, I used to say no news is good news. And, you know, if there's no complaining on the board, that's cool with me. If there's nothing there at all, I don't care. I'd like to see something now. Now I'm starting to think, wow, everybody's forgetting about us. You know, they don't even care enough to write down hate mail. So write something on the forum, people. Please, sign up. Just go to WrestlingWeekly.com, click on forums. But, yeah, we do take a look at it. If we might not answer you, but we do look at it. And we talk about you behind your backs. No, I'm serious. I'm kidding, but...
Talk about you on the air.
Yeah, if something gets to less enough, he will talk about it on the air.
That happens to me all the time. I'm always ranting about something that happened on the board because it's kind of, I guess, some people have said, Brian, why do you acknowledge the board on the air, or this, that, and the other thing? And I just think that the people on a board are the most hardcore of the hardcores. You know what I mean?
They took the time to be there.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people that are part of our website, but not all of them go on the board. And the board are the people. I mean, those are the people that care the most.
Right.
And to me, I hate moderated and restrictive boards. I just hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've learned in the last couple of months that there have to be some rules. Because there was a period where our board became absurd. But aside from the rules, I mean, I'm not – if you've got a different opinion or anything like that, I think that everybody should be able to express that, and I think that everybody should be able to argue about it, and I think that it's very much like a family. I mean, families don't always get along. They yell at each other sometimes, and sometimes things are great, and I think that that's how it is on our board. So I don't know. I get upset sometimes, and then sometimes I get really happy, and I cannot help but mention this stuff on the air.
Right. You just can't help it.
I can't help it, because I have to acknowledge these people, because these are the people that care the most.
Well, that's good. I think that's kind of a good thing. Les has pretty much taught me that message boards are the devil. You can look at the message board, and you get an idea of what people are saying. But if you really shouldn't respond to them, is basically
route. I don't post on any message boards except for the one on our website. And the reason I post on the one on our website is because I think that sometimes if something gets going with false information, if you've got a differing opinion, I'll probably state my opinion. That's one thing. But if somebody gets going with inaccurate information, and I don't step in and say something, I don't need that thing snowballing and taking over the whole board and the whole website.
Right.
And that's my feeling is I'm on there to try and I guess, give my opinion on certain things, but also try and back up certain things with facts.
Right.
And hope that everybody gets an understanding of how things work.
You're sort of the post killer.
Not even so much the post killer, but just the making sure that things don't get completely out of control with false information.
Uh-huh.
And that's the problem with a lot of the internet is there are boards everywhere where anybody can say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody steps in there to say, look, here are the actual numbers from a legitimate source, so here's a story, things snowball, and you get all sorts of weird posts and messages and just craziness.
Don't people get mad at you when you correct them, though, and they're like, I don't care what that says, I'm right?
Oh, well, we had an 11-page thread of it was a Vince Russo defender who was very upset with our buy rate numbers and demanding to know who gave us these numbers, which I can't name the source.
Right.
But I pointed out that, okay, if you look at our UFC numbers, which also are not released, I mean, when Dana White drops a number or you see a number dropped in broadcasting and cable and they match up, that suggests that we're getting accurate information. Which then would suggest that we are getting the same accurate information from TNA, since all the numbers are largely coming from the same place. So, and it ended up being 12 pages long of largely idiocy.
Right. I had a guy last week. I think they were talking about WrestleMania, of course, and he kept saying it was going to be Test and Lashley and RVD in a three-way for the ECW Championship at WrestleMania. And I told him, I said, your news is very old. I said, that it's not going to happen. I said, Donald Trump is going to be, representing Lashley. And he said, no, that makes no sense. I said, I don't care if it makes sense or not. That's what's going to happen. He would not listen to reason. And I said, Monday night, you come back and you see me after Raw.
Has he returned?
No. So, that's the way it goes. But, yeah. You do, of course, Wrestling Observer Live with Dave Meltzer every Sunday. And you both separately run your own newsletters. Is there any competition between you guys ever?
Not really.
As far as, like, you guys have a conversation, and you're like, I heard this, what did you hear? And you're like, maybe I heard that, maybe I didn't. And then you guys are rushing to the presses. And
no, nothing, absolutely nothing like that. I think that the thing with our newsletters is it's not even so much about breaking news. Because for breaking news, just go on the internet, and you usually find it everywhere.
This is true.
Our newsletters are more about writing a story about the news. His is more focused on history and that sort of thing, and mine is a little more general. Like, I guess a good example would be if I were going to write a UFC pay-per-view report or a WWE pay-per-view report, I might briefly run down the history leading up to it and where it might go, and he will go far more in-depth into it than I will. And it's just the way that we do that. But mine's more focused on TV reports and wackiness, and his is more straight news. And it's not really so much a competition because we do something we do largely different things. And you know, he understands, I think, that his is a print newsletter, and so it shouldn't rely on breaking news, because it's hard to break news when your newsletter comes out 7 days or whatever after you mail it because of the U.S. Postal Service sucks.
Right.
So, you know, his strength has to be going more in depth into things and looking at the history of things, and mine has to be similar and also put in a little bit of, Figure Four to me is almost like the website and the newsletter is almost like a living being. It's got its own personality. And I think that, you know, without that, it would be useless.
Right. That's good. It's got that Tilda Bang sort of charisma to it.
Sure.
Miracle says, Brian, what do you think about your large following in the gay community?
I know what he wants me to answer. We get a lot of prank callers on the Observer show.
This is why we don't take calls on the air, Brian.
No, why not?
I get to pick what I'm going to ask. I get to pick and choose. We don't.
Let me answer that question.
Sure.
Because I've seen, and this is why I have to get on our message board. I've been to other message boards, and I've seen a giant debate about this. What happened was AJ Styles was on the show.
Okay.
And a caller calls in and goes, what do you think about your calling in the gay community? And AJ goes, the gay community? And Dave hung up on the guy.
Right.
So then a few minutes later, another guy calls in and asks a similar question, and Dave hangs up on the guy. So it ends up somebody trying to cause trouble is like, Dave must be homophobic or whatever the accusation was, and why didn't he let AJ answer this question? It was an honest question and that sort of thing, and these threads were huge, and I stopped myself from jumping in. But here's the reality of the situation, everybody. We have a chat room as well, okay? I was in the chat room. I saw the people planning this call. It was a prank call.
Right.
It was a prank call from the very beginning.
Right.
That's what happened. The second guy that called, not only was it a prank call, but he also made another comment that got bleeped by the seven-second delay that nobody else heard. They were both prank calls. There was no honest question about AJ Styles and his following in the gay community.
Right.
So this is an example where I just wish I could have just stepped in and said, everybody, this is what happened. We don't need 55 threads about Dave being homophobic or AJ Styles having a huge following in the gay community. It was all two prank calls.
Right. That's what gets me about, you know, it's hard to have free speech anymore. I mean, you have free speech. You can say it. But somebody's always going to get offended or claim that they're offended. And, you know, when it gets to a certain point, they want money because they're offended. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And it's hard to say something that's true without offending somebody. Because there's usually topics are black and white. Somebody's wrong usually. And whoever that person is that's wrong, now everybody who's like them is offended. Do you know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Give me an example.
Let's say that, I know Shelton Benjamin uses this a lot, so let's just say that, you know, Shelton Benjamin, somebody came on and said, Shelton Benjamin's a horrible wrestler. Now you've got like 25 black dudes saying, oh, you don't like black wrestlers. You know what I mean?
I actually, when I heard that, I thought of the arguments that I used to hear about how Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels weren't good wrestlers, and the absurd threads that resulted from these, and it's an argument that you would never hear anywhere except on the internet.
Right, absolutely.
I've had people that don't watch wrestling and can watch a Shawn Michaels match and go, holy cow, that guy's awesome. And I watch that and I read certain things and I'm like, how can you not see that?
Mm-hmm.
What are you watching here? But yeah, I understand.
And now, like, after WrestleMania, if Vince does something wrong and they're like, man, I can't stand Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? They could be talking about the character.
Sure. Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, like 50 bald guys will be like, oh, you just don't like bald people. Billionaires will start writing on the internet. You just don't like billionaires.
Well, yeah.
I want some money now.
He did bury any bald billionaires. Apparently that's a bad thing.
It tends to get ridiculous, and it tends to get to me sometimes. Because, you know, we both do shows, and you're always having to watch what you say all the time.
I don't actually worry about that much.
I notice you don't. I'm always watching myself about something. I mean, we said something about a wrestler's character a few weeks back. I'm not going to mention names or anything, but not only did the wrestler get offended, his girlfriend got offended, and there was a lot of...
Wait, you said something about his character and he got mad?
He was sort of offended about it, yeah.
Like if you had Hector Guerrero on and you were like, God, I hated that gobbledygooker.
You were right. It was
sort
of
fake!
Like that. Exactly. And we have to say this all the time, but, you know, but if we say something like, a, you know, Tess can't wrestle or anything like that, you know, we're not talking like we hate Tess.
Okay, here's the way that I've always looked at it, and I'm not one of those people that just wants to be friends with all the wrestlers. That's never even remotely been close to what I've cared about.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, listen, I have... Test is no good. He's really bad in the ring. He does nothing for me. If Test gets mad, I don't care. That's my opinion. And it doesn't. I don't ever need to talk to Test in my life. It's not big on my priority list. If Test called me today and he was very angry and he demanded I retract that, I just go, I'm sorry you're upset. I don't get it. That's it.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know.
But if you don't like test wrestling and you come on the air, and this is only, an example, guys, in the chat room, but if you don't like test and...
I'll be polite.
And you say...
I'm not going to come on the air and go, Test, you suck. Jesus.
Right. But, I mean, you're not going to go on the air and say, Test is great.
No, I'm not going
to... You're not going to do that either. You wouldn't be being true to yourself.
No. That's why if somebody said, Brian, get Test on the show, I'd be like, no. Why?
I've had some people like that, too, yes. I understand what you mean. But yeah, it just gets to me sometimes, Brian Alvarez. It gets to me.
Can't let it get to you.
But you've got a full plate with this stuff. I mean, you've got the Wrestling Observer Live Show. You've got the Brian and Vinny Show, and that's daily. Am I right?
Actually, no. Brian and Vinny is we do Tuesday, we do Friday, and we usually do whenever there's a pay-per-view. So that can be Friday, Sunday, Saturday, all
yeah.
three,
so
whatever.
So that's like 2-3 times a week. And then you have the newsletter.
Figure Four Daily is the other one. We end up doing a show pretty much every day. Figure Four Daily is just where we interview guests.
Right.
And we've got Colt Cabana's tomorrow, Dave Meltzer is Thursday, and Don Fry is on Friday.
Awesome.
Which should be wacky.
You'll have to ask Colt Cabana what he thinks about this Matt Classic guy.
Oh, I will. I'll ask him his thoughts on this young man.
I heard he doesn't like him.
Really?
Yeah, I heard that Colt is new school, and he does not like Matt Classic.
They need to build up the feud where they cut promos on each other, and then they sign each other to a match, and somehow the match happens.
That would rule. That could be done, though. Matt's under a mask.
I may put the Frankie Gotch Memorial Collar and Elbow Championship on the line against Matt Classic.
Excellent.
If given the opportunity.
Yes. Have you ever thought about maybe hosting your own, promoting your own show?
Hell no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
When I came to you, I think it was in the beginning of the summer last year, and I said, Brian, I am promoting our own show under the WrestlingWeekly.com banner. Why didn't you smack me?
I don't know if you came to me.
I did tell you this. I said.
I have no memory of this. But
we are doing a show in the fall, and I'm promoting the show, and we're going to...
And I didn't give you any warning whatsoever?
You said nothing.
Really? I apologize.
I know. I had to learn everything on the fly.
I've actually had people call me saying, we're thinking of starting up an MMA group. And I've been very straightforward about this. This is not, this is an all uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with promoting pro wrestling. I mean, you really have to go in just wanting to lose some money. you got to go in wanting a tax write-off or something.
Oh yeah.
It's so hard.
We did do that. We did lose quite a bit of money on that show. But I think it was a very entertaining show. Of course, we had some indie guys, some local guys who were, still learning and stuff like that.
Actually, let me give everybody a tip on promoting an indie show. I've never done one, okay? But I've done a little bit of, I've done different sort. I've promoted, obviously, the website, the newsletter, and we promoted Brian and Vinny or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go in, and you've got to do this in a manner of which you spend as little money as possible, preferably no money, if there's any way to swing that.
Right.
I mean, if you've got a friend that owns a shed, okay, run the show in the shed. You got no overhead. Okay, you got some friends that can bring chairs. Bring some chairs. You got a couple of local wrestlers that are willing to work for free. Work for free. Then try and sell some tickets. That's the closest you're going to come to making any money. If you were a fantastic P.T. Barnum-caliber promoter, you may be able to run a show where you rent a building, fly in a couple of guys, get some indie guys on the intercard, and make some money off videotape sales. But even then, you got to be damn good to make any money. Your goal should be spend no money. Any money you spend has to be money that there's no way this show could have been run otherwise.
Right. And isn't that going to look low class, though? You're running out of a barn or a shed or...
Well, here's the way that I always... I mean, there was a group around here called Pinnacle, and they still run. And they used to run in this garage, okay? It was like there was a giant... There were rows of buildings, and people were, like, tearing cars apart and putting them back together, whatever. Just these garages.
Uh-huh.
And they'd rented out a garage, and they put a ring in there, and it could seat maybe 100 people. And they packed this place every month without fail. It didn't matter that it was in a barn. It didn't matter that you had to, you know, walk through a giant Bigfoot tire to get to the door. None of that mattered. There was wrestling there that people wanted to see. So then later their idea was, okay, we're going to move to this large, this big, this MMA facility that has room for a ring, where they were charged this huge amount of money, and they still ended up drawing largely the same people,
wow.
Except they were now making significantly less money.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't come to wrestling to go to, I don't know, the opera. People just want to go see wrestling, and that's almost part of the charm is a small little hole in the wall. I mean, look at the ECW arena. That place was the biggest dump there's ever been. And if you talk to anybody from ECW, they'd all say the exact same thing. Talk to any fan that ever went there, they'd all say the exact same thing. It never mattered because ECW was there. That was the whole deal. That was their place.
So everybody, you know, come on down to Indiana next year when WrestlingWeekly.com will be holding their next event in the middle of a park.
Seriously.
With
if,
no
you,
ring.
If you know somebody that has like a big backyard, like a field, I've wrestled in a field before. They just set the ring up on the field, and like the ring is all, it's all uneven and wacky, but they just put the ring there and put some chairs around it. Didn't have any overhead. That's how they ran the show.
That's awesome. I don't think that'll make the official results ever, though.
Hey, know. Send in your results. Nobody knows there was a building there.
That's true, too.
You're just giving the city and the attendance.
Mm-hmm. That's true, too. I'm going to have to remember something like that.
Low overhead, everybody.
I think we rented an armory for the show.
Oh, see? Well, I don't know actually how much armories are. May not have been too bad.
It wasn't too bad, but...
You can get deals on, like, armories and Elks Lodges and that sort of thing.
Ever since New Jack came to Indiana, the armories have been... they banned Hardcore. They banned Blood. And they also banned New Jack, by the way. He's not allowed in any Indiana armory anymore.
Really?
That's the truth.
What if he enlists? Can he go in?
I don't think they'll take him.
See, that's another thing. That's another thing people have to do is go to the most ghetto part of town, and find a building that nothing ever happens in. And if you say, look, we'll do a show a month for $75, $75 you wouldn't have been getting otherwise because nothing's running here.
Right.
They may say sure.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, your show's in a horrible part of town, but the wrestling fans are going to go there. And, you know, it's not like you're going to draw a non-fan to a show just because it's in a nice building.
Right.
It has nothing to do with it. You're targeting, as an independent promoter, indie fans that you can find in the area. And you put up your posters and everything like that. You got a poster. You got to do all that legwork and the hard work. You can't just rely on the internet and that sort of thing. That'll always fail. But poster and get the cheapest building possible and try and get the people for the... I mean, you're obviously going to have to pay something for some talent, but, you know, keep it cheap.
Yeah, we had a pretty good lineup, I think. We had Josh Abercrombie in there. We had Rosie. He'll probably talk about that a little bit tonight, that we did that show, because he had some advice for me afterwards. And we had Robert Anthony, who's now in Deep South. He was signed by WWE probably 3 weeks after that show, which means they sent a scout to my show. That's
wow.
That's my story.
Oh.
WWE sent a scout to my show, and they signed Robert Anthony.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But, no, we do have the DVD for sale, guys, if you want to check it out. It is sort of a fan cam. But, I mean, it is in focus. It's got some titles and stuff like that. And it's also, there's a captioned version on the DVD, in case you can't hear very well. This is at WrestlingWeekly.com.
Wait a second.
Yes.
There's closed captioning on this DVD?
There's closed captioning on this DVD.
How much did you pay for that?
I did this myself.
Oh, really? Okay, well, that's good then.
Yes. It took a very long time. So buy the DVD. It's $8.99, guys, at WrestlingWeekly.com.
I cannot believe you had a close. I've never even heard of that before.
Well, I was actually checking this out, and I was seeing, you know, we had a bunch of disasters at the show, of things that didn't show up, equipment that was supposed to be there that wasn't there when we got there, and one of them was three cameras. We ended up with two. We had a hard camera and a camera off to the side. For some reason, two girls were standing by the hard camera and gossiping the entire time, so all the footage was useless.
Oops.
Yeah. So we had the camera off to the side that was getting close-ups and pulling back a lot. So we used that version. We threw that on there. And when I was listening to it, it was kind of hard to understand exactly what these people were saying. Now, I'm a big fan of closed captioning. I know a lot of people think it's annoying and things like that, and they don't like it. I do. I'm not hearing impaired or anything, but I use closed captioning anyway in case I miss something they said. Because I have dulled ADD or something. My mind will wander. I'm like, what did he just say? I don't want to rewind it. It's right there on the screen. So in case you can't really understand what they're saying, we put closed captionings on the bottom. That's one version. The other version has none. But they all have little cute little titles and stuff like that. And it's pretty cheap, $8.99, guys.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we really did want to get a three-camera setup, but, stuff that was promised for us to be there ended up not being there when
I
showed up.
I'm stunned.
It was. I need to write a blog, like a whole story on that day, because it was a very bad day for me. And to be the ring announcer and to try to promote at the same time and run around, this is something that I will not be doing again.
Somebody once said that making a film is a series of compromises, and it's just like an indie show.
Exactly. We've had a lot of that, too, going on. We should really do the story, behind the whole thing and send it along with the DVD or something. Who knows? But, it was a trying time, and I remember a little boy coming up to me at intermission, and he says,
"Don't ever run a show again, sir."
he says, "How long have you guys been coming here?" And I said, "Well, this is our first time." And he just looked up at me, hopefully, and he's like, "Are you guys coming back?" I had to look down at that little boy, and I said, "Probably not." And I walked away.
Oh, that's sad.
So I crushed that little boy's spirit that night.
He'll never be the same. He may grow up to be a promoter now. Look what you've done. You've ruined a life.
It's probably like he would have grown up to be a wrestler, like a world champion one day, and I've ruined it. I ruined that kid's life. That's what keeps me up at night now. Because I was in a bad mood, and I told that kid we weren't coming back.
What a heel.
I was supposed to be the good guy, but I was the heel. And also, never take a bump unless you know how to take a bump.
I just say never take a bump even if you know how. That's my philosophy.
I stupidly, we had Romeo Roselli on the show from the Heartthrobs. Romeo was supposed to come out and cut this heel promo. And I told Romeo in the back, I was like, "When you come out, I said, when I hand you the microphone, knock me on my ass." He was like, "Are you sure?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "All right." So here I'm ready for this. You know, it's going to be my big bump and all this. And I come out, I announce his name. This right after intermission. Comes out, and he's like, which I thought was funny at first, but he takes the mic and he goes, "Hey, what's that?" And pointed at the ceiling. And not remembering what I told him, I looked up. And that was the last thing I remember.
Oh, God.
But I was like, I was amused for a second when he said, "Look up, what's that?" And I was like, and
you were a mark.
And I did look up, and then I was just on my back. And the bump looked so terrible that Les still makes fun of me to this day.
And is that the last bump you've ever taken?
That was the first and the last one. I've not taken one since, and I don't know. I don't know if I will do it again. I'm not a very athletic person at this point. I mean, a lot of people know this, but I walk with a cane unless I'm ring announcing. Then I leave it in back, and I just walk slowly. And then I run back there, and I get my cane at the end of the night. but I usually do. And, I have back problems and stuff like that. But I was like, this guy, you know, I was thinking it was just a push. You know, he's just going to push me down.
No,
how bad can that hurt? He shoved me hard. I was not ready for that. And like I said, until he put his hands on me, I forgot he was going to do it. And, Yeah, so you could see that on the DVD. There's a nice big close-up of that.
Stiff worker.
Yeah. I wouldn't say stiff. I mean, to me it was stiff because I'm not a worker. But another wrestler would have probably laughed at it if he would have done that to them. But to me, I think he knew that, you know, I think he saw me with the cane and asking him to hurt me, and he was like, I can't hurt this kid. But yeah, it was good stuff. It was good stuff. Rosie was great. The crowd loved him. He did some he took some pictures in the ring with the kids, and he was great with the kids. Oh man, they treated him like a carnival ride. All the kids wanted to be picked up and put on his shoulders or swung around by him, and boy, he was just happy to swing them kids around. He was just like, "Wee!" But everybody had a really good time, the ones that showed up. But, and you know, if you look at the DVD, you could see there wasn't that many people there. We didn't really set up all that many chairs either. There weren't that many people there, but everybody had a good time that came in there, and I think it was worth the money that the people did pay. A lot of people were saying it was promotion problems, that they didn't hear about it.
Well, that's actually one of the harder things, is getting the word out. But
absolutely, we did newspaper, we did flyers, we flyered the college. We tried to flyer Walmart, but they kicked us out of the parking lot. Isn't that crazy?
They kicked you out of the parking lot?
They kicked us out of the parking lot.
Actually, that surprised me, because I've seen that happen around here.
It's a Walmart.
Well,
whatever
yeah.
happened to family friendly? They threw us out of the parking lot.
Well, you're soliciting your business.
Yeah, but we're only going to be there one day. I mean, and my brother worked there. And they threw us out of the parking lot. He's like, why didn't you tell him you were my brother? It's like,
the question is your brother still work there after this?
He does. He does. He's one of the bosses over there, actually. And we still couldn't get in. So that was pretty bad, because the general manager had us thrown off the property. And it's a good thing I didn't rent that costume. I was going to rent, like, a muscle costume and stand in front of Walmart wearing it to try to attract attention. People would be like, hey, what's this idiot doing? And then I'll hand him a flyer, you know. It's a little bit easier than just standing there.
Sure.
It's a good thing I didn't do that, because I'd have looked pretty stupid. Rich walking off the property in my muscle costume. Like, hey, you threatened me.
So that was the last one you're promoting. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not going to say that. I might try it again. I might try some of your things, your ideas. Who knows?
The field. I strongly recommend the field.
I believe that. Now Stevie J is talking about Jim Mitchell uses a cane as a gimmick, so can Doc. Mine's not a gimmick. If I came out and, you know, I think I told you this, Brian, but my goal at the beginning was I wanted to be manager one day.
Mm-hmm.
In the indies. I'm not talking about national or anything like that. I'm happy working around here and just having fun and stuff like that. But if I was a manager, I would probably be the first manager to carry a cane who actually needed it.
I actually had somebody email me. They're in a wheelchair, and they wanted to do a gimmick as a manager, but the wheelchair wouldn't be a gimmick.
Right.
And they were asking me for ideas, and I really couldn't think of one because it's hard, because everybody assumes it's fake, you know what I mean? And especially if you're a heel manager, it has to lead to something. And I don't necessarily know if you're in a wheelchair, you want to be kicked out of the wheelchair or anything like that.
Right.
So
that's another thing that came to my mind, and what I was thinking was that I would just end up getting away all the time, or I would have somebody say.
Well, ideally, I mean, that's always been my plan in wrestling, was to not get hit, but
because I would have to. I don't think I'll ever be a manager unless it's a really small indie, because I cannot take bumps, and managers these days need to take bumps. It's not the 80s anymore, you know.
And even the 80s, I mean, God, the guys in the 80s took more bumps than the managers today.
Well, I don't remember ever seeing Lou Albano or
Well, maybe not so much Lou, but I will always remember, like, when Ultimate Warrior gave Bobby Heenan the clothesline, and Heenan, like, did a full flip, and you just see his feet flying
the screen.
And then disappear.
Heenan
took some crazy bumps.
Heenan
Cornette
was always one to take bumps because he was a trained wrestler.
Yeah.
I will not be one. I will probably never be one. I've always known that. But you know, and they're saying in the chat room right now, if Zach Allen can do it, Doc can do it, you know. But, you know, Zach Allen is pretty good.
He really was.
He's very good with the one leg. I saw a battle royal with this guy. And
did he have to get thrown out twice?
This is funny because he was wearing the prosthetic during the match. And I think it came down to, this was an IWA match. It came down to Corporal Robinson and Zach Allen. And Zach's getting beat up. I mean, he's playing the heel in this match. And the whole time he's standing in the corner watching everybody else fight. You know, and he's trying to get away from everybody. But he ends up being the last guy with Corporal Robinson. Now that he's stuck, Corporal's beating him. Finally picks him up, flings him out of the ring. As he's flinging him out of the ring, Zach's leg fell off. And the whole crowd just gasped, you know. They're like, oh, my God, his leg fell off. How embarrassing, you know. And they rang the bell. And Corporal's, you know, he's sitting there celebrating in the ring. And Zach pounces up on the one leg and hops back into the ring and shoves Corporal over the rope. And the bell rings again. And the referee, or the ring announcer comes out and he says, the rules of the Battle Royal state that both feet must touch the floor. Therefore, the winner is Zach Gowen. And everybody just started rolling. It was so funny.
So it worked.
And it was not expected. Everybody thought it was real when his leg fell off, including me. And I was like, oh, my God, that was so embarrassing, you know. And when I saw him, like, start to hobble back into the ring, I knew what was coming. But the both feet must touch the floor clarification, just that did it right there. That was hilarious.
Yeah, we were always thinking about that whenever you do a battle royal. It's like, you have to throw him out twice, or how do you eliminate him? And
yeah,
I'm glad that someone finally made the most of that gimmick.
That was excellent booking. I don't know who. I think that was probably Ian Rotten that came up with that, but that was, I give him props for that one. That was good. We've got, of course, Rosie coming up in just a little bit here on Wrestling Weekly. He is going to be talking about his Japanese career. He's been in Japan for a little while, coming back and forth and doing some indie work. I'm going to be talking about him about that, his days in WWE. He's going to be answering your questions. And we're going to find out tonight the truth about the rumors that Rosie is being courted by WWE. Is this true or not? We're going to ask him right here on the show. We're going to take a quick break right now. Brian and I will be back in a few minutes with a little bit more news, and then we've got Rosie coming up, so stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and special guest co-host Brian Alvarez tonight on Wrestling Weekly. Don't go anywhere.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name is Adam Nudelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That's stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nudelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young and Brian Alvarez back with you here at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now, yes, we did bring him up here a little bit earlier than we planned to, but boy, we just couldn't wait. We wanted to talk to this man. He is, of course, the former WWE World Tag Team Champion with the Hurricane, known as Rosie. Now he's known as Rosie. It's just spelled differently. Rosie, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Hey, man, thanks for inviting me. Glad to be here.
We had you back on, I think it was in the summertime was the last time we spoke to you. How have you been doing since then?
Yeah, doing all right, man. Kicking Japan's butt, you know. Just doing what I got to do to keep my head above water.
Yeah, I hear that. Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I didn't know if I had cut you off or what. But, yeah, we've, well, you came out, and Brian and I were discussing this earlier on the show, to the Wrestling Weekly show in Indiana in October. And we had told him that you had some advice for me afterwards, and that was never to do two different jobs on one show.
Yeah. You're either going to be the promoter or you're going to be somebody that the promoter hires, man.
Yes, and this was a hard lesson that I had to learn because we were talking about what went wrong that day and things like that. I still think the show came out good, but some of the problems were, of course, I was, you know, being spread too thin with having to do the ring announcing duties and running around making sure everything was okay. We had a couple guys on the audio that had never done it before.
Yeah. Well, you know, it happens. It was your first time in. You got your feet wet, and now you know. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know too many people that can go out there and just run a 100% successful show. I've been around this business since I was 5 years old, and I got put on Zoloft for handling my dad's shows and my career at the same time. So I definitely know the stress factor that comes with promoting a show. And you know, when it goes good, it goes great. But when it doesn't do so well, well, you know.
Right.
You got to flush it down the commode and start over again. But, you know, with time comes experience, and that's the way the world works, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're always learning, I guess.
Yeah.
There's, you know, no matter how long you're in it, there's always something new to learn.
Were you a big fan of you mentioned being, in I guess, around wrestling since you were five. Were you a big fan of All Japan growing up?
Yeah, sure was. I was a big fan. I had plenty of family members that wrestled for him. I'm not too sure if a lot of people out there, but I bet they do know Gary Albright. He was a cousin-in-law of mine. He was a big time player out in All Japan. Of course, this last tour, we've had my cousin Rikishi out there. He went out and rocked the house at Sumo Arena the last night, and you know, but my family's spread out through the world, Doc. You gotta know we're all over the world, so.
And it's a big family, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
And it's all wrestling almost.
That's, I guess you could say, this is our family business. So, I'm pretty safe to say that we're about the biggest active family in professional wrestling today.
When you first came into wrestling, you had the Mac Daddy Kane gimmick going on. in ECW, I always wondered about the origin of that name, if that was something that you came up with or if it was given to you or anything like that.
You know what, between WWE back in 96, that's the year you're talking about, it kind of got mixed through there, you know, just is the same way Rosie came about. I didn't really have a name at the time. Actually, I was using Maddie Smalls, and that name came about being that when I met Biggie Smalls out in New York one night in a club. He was a little cat before he passed away, and I've always given big ups to him. And, you know, he was just a real down-to-earth dude. You know,
is he always is he really always really mellow, like he, you know, like on TV?
He's pretty, yeah. You know, you'd almost think he was on something, but man, he was just that cool, you know. And after I hung out with him that night, you know, of course I never kept in touch with him, but it was just something I thought fit pretty good. Biggie Smalls, Matty Smalls. So
right,
that's pretty much what I based it off of until WWE rolled around, and then my cousin kind of added the Kane to it. When we got done there, it just kind of stuck. So it was kind of half Matty Smalls, half Big Daddy Matty, half Big Daddy Kane, half whatever people could think, whatever rolled off their tongue. I just turned my head because I knew if I heard Kane, Matty, or Smalls, I kind of figured they were talking to me.
Right. So I'm assuming you like rap music.
Man, I like all kinds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Whatever sounds good to me, you know. I've got my phase. I've never stuck to one thing. I like a little bit of techno. I like a little bit of rap. Heck, I even like country, you know.
Yeah, you were born in San Francisco, but you ended up moving to the Midwest.
Oh, man. When I was younger, I was pretty much all over the country. I was almost like a military brat, but my dad just happened to wrestle. So yeah, I've lived all over the place. I don't think I spent 1 year in the same elementary school up until fifth grade when we pretty much made home base in Pensacola, Florida.
Wow. So if you you know, you traveled all over the country and stuff like that, what was your favorite area? Not as far as work or territories or anything like that, but your favorite area to live in?
You know what? From what I can remember, I know when I was younger, we lived up in Toledo, Ohio, actually. And I remember going to kindergarten there, and I dug the snow.
Yeah.
I was a little pissed off that I couldn't use my little wind-up Evel Knievel toy outside the snow. For some reason, it just wouldn't get off that little ramp.
The little
platform.
Had
to wind it up, and, you know. But, probably, yeah, my most favorite spot, I definitely have to say, is Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
At first I didn't really like it because, you know, coming from San Francisco and living, you know, for a while there, you know, California is where my heart is, but Pensacola just kind of grew on me, and I love the outdoors, I love the deep sea fish, I love to get out and go skiing when I get a chance and stuff like that, so... Anything that's got to do with outdoors, and by far, man, reggae on the beach, sipping on some Doc Rockers is my kind of good time. So,
did you know from day one that you were going to be a wrestler? I mean, was that pretty much your dad was a wrestler, your whole family was into wrestling, and you just sort of that was what you were going to do?
Brian.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
You know what? Actually, no, I didn't. I actually thought that I would live my career as an NFL player, and that's what I set my goals for. I've always gotten in the ring with my dad and my cousins. You know, I was there while my dad and uncle trained Honga Kid, Yokozuna, Samu. Pretty much his dad handled him, Kishi. You know, I was in the backyard when they were all training and stuff, and I'd get in the ring every now and then and let them pick me up, toss me around. But as far as early on in my life, yeah, NFL was where I wanted to go, and that's what I wanted to do. And it's kind of funny that you asked that question because, you know, me and Randy Orton, when we had first started on WWE, was talking about it, being that he's from a wrestling background,
right,
that we always kind of wondered if the other wrestlers looked down on us a little bit because maybe we didn't know as much history as they did and as much big match dates and places. You know, we just didn't, when you're raised up in the family, you're not all I cared about was what my dad was doing and what my uncle was doing.
Right. You don't remember
what
remember,
my cousins were doing.
You don't remember particulars like so-and-so beat this guy in 96.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. What I do remember is that they tipped me well to go get them sodas after their match.
Right.
In the locker room. So I was happy to make $5-$10, go get somebody, you know, one of the boys some sodas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, you know, when they're all around, you know, in your backyard at barbecues and you're raised around these guys, you just don't look at it as, don't get me wrong, I love wrestling. I love it to death. And, you know, now that I've been doing it for 13 years, I wish I could say I've been doing it for 20 by now. But when you're growing up, you just don't really pay that much attention. As you know, you're not in tune like an average fan was. And most guys in WWE grew up being fans.
Right.
You know, and so they do know a lot, and they do, you know, use their mind like a sponge for dates like that and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Bubba Dudley can rattle off dates. Tommy Dreamer is like a wrestling historian, you know. But it's just, yeah, me and Randy were sitting there in the locker room talking about it one day, and we were just kind of wondering if, you know, because they'll always turn to me or Randy, yeah, you remember that? Well, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure do. Was my dad on that show?
Yeah. My dad was there, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So was there something that sidetracked you from football that got you into wrestling, or when did you decide that wrestling was what you were going to do?
When I didn't make the NFL.
No, basically.
That's pretty much. I wanted to stay athletic, finished out my schooling at University of Hawaii, and when I got home, I sat down and spent about a year working, you know, here and there, and I was like, you know, the 9-to-5 is not what I want to do. I'm sitting around. I want to stay athletic, and hey, guess what? My dad's a wrestler. He can help me out. And luckily enough, yeah, we still had the ring in our backyard, and me and my dad got out there every day, and he just beat the piss out of me.
It's like, take that. Remember when you broke that lamp when you were 7?
Oh, yeah. My dad's a very – if it got broke that day, I'm gonna
You're going to get it that day.
Oh, yeah. No, my dad was very patient, very good teacher to me.
Would he have preferred you to be in the NFL or to have been a wrestler? Did he want you to be a wrestler?
Deep down, you know what? I think it's when I brought home bad grades. You're going to quit school and you're going to start wrestling. But luckily for me, you know, bad grades didn't happen that often. But, you know, every now and then you get off 6 weeks. But I think he just wanted me to do something that I was going to love and – that I was going to be happy with. But I did see the sparkle in his eye when I did tell him, when I sat down next to him and said, Dad, I want to start wrestling. At first he looked at me and a little weird. And then once we got in the ring and he saw that I was serious, that's when I think he was like, okay, let's get my son in the business. So.
Is that pretty much the outlook that you would have for your children if they wanted to get into the business?
Mixed feelings on that. I definitely want my kids to get an education first, because if anybody knows wrestling, there's a very short shelf life for a lot of people that want to wrestle, and there's not too much room for advancement unless you have it, you know. But I tell this to anybody that asks me, you know, when I'm on MySpace, I get a lot of questions from people asking me, hey, you know, I just started in the business, and, you know, can you give me any information? You know, especially if they're still in their teens.
Right.
I definitely, you know, express the point to make sure you have some security.
A fallback.
Yeah, something, you know, and it's definitely not in no way to deter them from getting into wrestling, because that's a dream and it's a goal, and a lot of people want to fulfill their dreams, and by far I'd never want to step in anybody's way or put a wall up in front of anybody about wrestling, because wrestling has been very good to me. It's been good to my family. And but I do let them know, you know, as far as my kids go, yeah, I definitely want them to finish out school. If my son feels like doing it, you know, while he's going to college to earn some extra money, hey, knock yourself out, man. He can get in there and run spots with me right now at 8 years old. So, you know, if that's something he wants to pursue once he's got his degree and once he's in and working, you know, in the workforce, yeah, sure. But
I guess what it is, you know, luck plays a lot of it. Being in the right place at the right time, being looked at by the right person, and you could have all the tools, you know, and still not make it.
Oh, no, I agree. There's just from the past, 10 months that I've not been with WWE, all the independents that I've done around the world, I see a lot of great talent out there. You know, I see a lot of great talent, a lot of guys that can definitely get up in, you know, to the WWE and make some money.
And some of them are not leaving their state.
Yeah.
Know, yet.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's true. It's definitely a lot different than when I was being raised in the business. You know, of course, there was a lot of territories then.
Right.
You know, my dad worked 1 year here, pick up and head on to another territory, which is fine. But, yeah, a lot of guys don't have to get out too far. You know, they don't have to beat that highway up to go make what they make, you know. But I'm a little bit old school. I don't mind jumping in the car and getting out, as Doc knows.
Absolutely.
You're talking about
me is pretty short, so.
Right.
You talked about the talent. You've got the Champion Carnival Tournament coming up. What are some of the names you would like to face in the tournament? Any guy that you haven't had a chance to work with yet that you think would be great?
Well, let's see. As far as All Japan goes, I've worked with all talent so far, and every one of them's great, but I'd definitely like to either see Kawada or Kojima. Or Taiokea.
Didn't you wrestle Kawada last week?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was good. It was all right. My partner ended up getting knocked out by one of his kicks, so I had to pretty much fight two guys by myself, and the end result was that Taiokea and Kawada won. But, hey, I'm still alive, and I'll be able to fight another day.
Absolutely.
I know that that New Japan has a dojo, and a lot of Americans, when they head over there, go through all of the there's some training over there. Is All Japan everything similar?
I'm sorry?
As far as, like, anything similar to a New Japan dojo in All Japan?
Yeah, and they've got an excellent group of young boys, young guys, young men. They're in shape. They got charisma. You're gonna see a good batch of young guys coming up through All Japan. I believe they got a tour coming up in Mexico via Vampiro coming soon. So,
yeah, sounds
but
good.
But yeah, they got about five or six guys in there. I think they got 12 overall, but they got about five or six that are blue chippers.
Sounds good. I want to get to some questions from the chat room. The Dooleys is asking if you still keep in contact with your cousin Jamal, a.k.a. Umaga now, and if you smile whenever you hear someone say 3 minutes.
You know what? Yeah, I do. I keep in touch with him on a weekly basis. I'm very happy for his success. Don't cringe when I hear 3 minute warning, although 3 minute warning was definitely a fun team. But seeing the success that Umaga's carrying, I'm ecstatic for him. You know, that's my blood, that's my cousin, and more power to him. I hope he rides that horse all the way to multimillionaire status.
Roll Adam Red says, what do you and Shane Helms think of WWE splitting up your superheroes tag team and turning him heel?
You know, it happens. It's the entertainment business. I thought that me and Hurricane made a good tag team. We had legs under us. I would have liked to seen our characters a little bit more darker, you know, a little bit more up to date. It seemed to me like we kind of looked more like an 80s team. I think we might have fit better. I think I told you this before, Doc. We might have fit better with the Hardy Boys, Dudley Boys, that era of tag teams. But you know, hey, everybody's got to take their own path somehow, and you know, I hadn't got a chance to watch a lot of Hurricane or Gregory Helms' matches and stuff, but I have seen a few, and he seems to be doing a pretty good job, you know?
Yeah. Professor Van Ness says, would you consider transforming yourself into a Samoan Savage gimmick, similar to Umaga's?
Well, that'd be a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
I could tell you that. It wouldn't, heck, I spent half my career doing the Wild Savage stuff, you know, down in Puerto Rico and around the country when I first started. But, yeah, no, I wouldn't have a problem doing any of that kind of stuff, you know.
Somebody's asking what your favorite three-minute run-in was.
My favorite would have to be when we kicked those girls' ass. Not May and Mula, but the young ones.
The HLA run-in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
That came off pretty good.
That and I'd say the midget.
The midgets?
Midget Gold Dust. That was pretty fun too. Although the poor guy got knocked out, but hey, you know. It's either him or us.
This is the question, you know, that we've been asking, that we've been meaning to ask, and Tyrell's asking in the chat room. Is return to WWE a possibility that you've considered?
Oh, I always consider it. I love WWE, you know. It's a great company to work for, not to mention they pay pretty good.
Right.
But as far as probably the question you're getting at, have they contacted me for future employment as far as starting back during WWE WrestleMania? No, they haven't. And but I do keep in touch with them on a regular basis. Not a regular basis, but, you know, a month or every other month basis.
Okay.
They know I'm still alive.
Right. they're asking if you want to have a match with Brian Alvarez now.
Sure.
Brian is taking on all comers.
All right. It's safe, right? If we can come correct on the pick, we can definitely get that match on.
And he's gonna be in Indiana. When is that, Brian?
I believe the 17th.
All right, Brian.
The 17th. So,
oh.
Larry Sweeney is going to be there.
March.
That's right, March.
Oh, buddy, I'm sorry, man. I'm.
You gonna be in Japan?
You know, no, I'm not gonna be in Japan, but I'll be in McMinnville, Oregon.
Ah,
oh, God, that's even closer.
I know.
So.
You guys are switching places.
Who are you working for in McMinnville?
I'm gonna be over with BAW Championship Wrestling.
Really? Wow, that's like, I go down to Oregon all the time, so that's interesting.
Yeah, Bob over there, he runs a pretty tight ship, and you know, he's always a good person to work for. Excuse me, but yeah, over two nights at the McMinnville Oregon Armory. I'm not complaining, man. I'll be able to hang out with some of my cousins, see some old friends, and we're gonna rock the house out in Oregon for a couple.
Is Tonga Kid gonna be there, Fatu?
Yeah, Tonga Kid, Rikishi, D'Lo Brown, Grandmaster Sexy, one of the girls that we. 3 minute warning. I believe her name's Daphne.
Daphne Unger.
I guess I'm not too familiar with you know her, but and a few others that I can't list off. But you feel free to go to BAWChampionshipWrestling.com and you can check out the whole list.
Where did they come up with the name Rosie? What was the thought process behind that?
The thought process was I don't know. Now, what they told me was they were pretty much basing it off of Rosie Greer, the football player.
Oh.
Which I still don't understand that. But, hey, you know, we didn't really know our names until Eric Bischoff called it out to us in the ring the second time we were out. And as soon as I got through the back, you know, some of the boys was like, who's Jamal and who's Rosie? And Jamal just happened to be walking through the curtain first, and he's like, I'm Jamal.
So, well, how about that?
So I was like, yeah, crap, I'm Rosie. But you know what? The name seems to have stuck pretty good. I like it, and that also it rolls off people's tongues pretty easy.
Yeah, it does now.
Yeah.
But I would like to go back and see that footage of you guys coming out there the first time and see the reactions on your faces when they said, Jamal and Rosie.
I think that was like probably a reaction that you would probably, for me, it would be if somebody was trying to explain trigonometry to me. What did he say?
Well, it would have been funny is if you guys automatically turned around and started doing rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah.
All right, who gets Rosie?
Yeah. You know what? That's fine with me. I'm, you know, hey, I was in the best company in the world. So it, I always told myself I'd walk out there in a pink tube. Well, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, please.
I always said that I'd do what it took to be in that company. And hey, we were there. Rosie sounded fine. Tried to get them to respell it the way I got it now, but they seemed to think R-O-S-E-Y was fine. And I was like, hey, all right. It's not my job to worry about a name. It's my job to get out there and put butts in the seats. You know?
Absolutely. Another question from the chat room. They asked if it bothers you that WWE gives all the Samoans savage gimmicks.
No, it doesn't, because, hey, you know, my dad and uncle are legends from it, you know. It just seems to fit, you know. History repeats itself somewhere down the line, and I will admit, when I first seen Umaga, I was a little hesitant, a little worried, but, hell, he's doing a great job with it, man.
Yeah, they really did. You know,
if there's anybody in the world that could pull that gimmick off, it'd be him. So.
Oh, here's a good final question for DiCapo, from DiCapo. He says, in the absence of Les, since Les isn't here tonight, tell us a funny story on Les.
Oh, man. Does he know that Les only lives about a mile from me?
Yeah.
He got a knock on my door on Monday.
He'll be out of town till Sunday. He doesn't listen to the replays. He won't even know this happened.
You know what? There could probably be a funny story that Les would definitely know about. Well, when we were at HWA, we were all training, and you know, we were in there Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and we always started off our training with Hindu squats.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just quick Hindu squats, 25 of them, nothing much, just enough to get your knees warmed up. And,
right.
And, of course, we had two rings in HWA at the time, and, you know, half the crew was in one ring, the other half was in the other. Well, my cousin, Umaga, was in the other ring, and he was just happened to be doing Hindu squats right next to Les. And, you know, Les is, he'll drive you. He'll push you to the limit. And, you know, got reason, I don't know, he just got started on Jamal real quick, and, well, he was telling Umaga to go a little lower, go lower, go lower, go lower, and Umaga looked right over at him and was like, Les, this is low as I go, brother. And Les just popped up, and you could just see the redness in his face.
That big vein throbbing.
He just looked at everybody and threw out a few choice words and got out of the ring and walked to his office. Later that day, you know, I walked up into Les. I was like, hey, you okay? And this and that. I was like, Maddie, I'm not scared of him. I'm not scared of him. You need to talk to him. And this and that. And I was like, Les, okay. You know, either or, they're Hindu squats. And, you know, he is one of the biggest guys I know that can move the way he does. So,
right.
You know. But, yeah, he was pretty heated over that, and I don't know if he's just having a bad day or bad morning or what, but that was pretty funny because the room got silent, but as soon as he left, everybody pretty much fell out. It was just a funny but awkward moment, I guess.
Yeah, one of them days. That can happen. I've been on my end of you know, Les's, I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, you know, Les can, he can talk to a broomstick for 10 hours, and a broomstick would actually probably...
It would start to quiver and go back into the corner.
Yeah, but, that particular moment was just, kind of... It was funny. It was. Not to see poor Les get just heated up over the top, but it was just a nice. It was a moment.
Yeah.
You know, and it was at his expense. But
I want to thank you for coming out here. We're running out of time. continued luck or continued success is what I mean to say in Japan, Rosie, and hopefully we'll see you again soon on TV here in the States. In the meantime, we'd love to have you back in a few months. Catch up on what you're doing out there in Japan.
Sure. No problem, man. No problem, Doc. Brian, appreciate it. Doc, thank you very much, buddy. It was always a pleasure being on the show.
And it's always a pleasure having you on the show, Rosie. We'll talk to you again soon, guy.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Rosie here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. It's going to wrap things up for this week. We got to get rolling. Keep checking out the website, WrestlingWeekly.com. We'll have the March schedule up for you soon. And, Brian, I want to thank you for filling in for Les tonight.
Thank you for having me.
You can always catch Brian at F4WOnline.com.
And now, just for Wrestling Weekly, Figure4Online.com. We got a new, easier URL.
Figure4Online.com.
Yep.
Was this by virtue of
I certainly got it because you forgot the website about 74 times. I thought, we got to make this easy for poor Doc.
It just doesn't roll off my tongue. I don't know why.
No, it doesn't. But now, figure4online.com.
And you have like 10 other URLs, don't you?
We did about 50, yeah. We have figure4empire.com. That's always a good one.
Have you tried, will it work, tildebang.com?
I haven't tried that one. I couldn't actually do a tilde. I'd have to spell it out, and that would cause too many issues.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe just banged. No, wait. That might go somewhere we don't want it to.
I was going
to
say that's tape.
Brian, we'll see you again soon for Hot Topic in a few weeks. Guys, you know what's coming up next, ECW WSX tonight. Check it out on Spike TV and MTV. We'll see you next week, guys, every Tuesday, 8 to 10 Eastern on Wrestling Weekly. Good night.